Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning and welcome in this winter season to this broadcast of the Word of Grace on CJMQ, broadcasting to the eastern townships of Quebec and beyond. It's Sunday, February the 19th, 2023, and I'm so glad that you're spending time with us this morning, especially if you're a new listener. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. May God bless us as we seek him today. In the way that churches mark off Sundays, this is the last Sunday before Lent, and we remember the transfiguration of Jesus. And the psalm set for the day is Psalm 99, and it depicts the greatness of God over the mountains. Of course, we recognize that the earth really does tremble in earthquake and disaster. Perhaps we wonder what kind of God made the world with tectonic plates that collide and cause catastrophe. Yet we recall that Jesus, God come amongst us in human form, was born, grew up, and lived in the midst of an earthquake zone. He shared life's sorrows and feels its pain. The God who sits enthroned above the earth is a God who knows the brokenness of our world, and in Jesus has ushered in the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. He did so when the ground shook and the earth trembled, when he rose from the dead. Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion, he is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name, he is holy. The King is mighty, he loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy.
Oh,
Let us pray. God of grace and wonder, you reveal your presence in so many different ways. Your glory glistens on snowy mountaintops and sparkling streams. Your mercy moves in classroom conversations and bedside prayers. Your word of comfort frees us from our fear. Your voice can transform our doubts. We come before you in worship, to dwell in your goodness and seek your truth, as we offer all praise and honour to you, with Christ and the Holy Spirit, one God, mighty and merciful, now and always. God of mystery and mercy, we confess we sometimes mistake our own desires for your will. We are reluctant to hear a word that challenges our assumptions. We seek assurances that we are right and resist insights from the experiences of others. Forgive us, O God. Shape our will to yours, that we can dwell more closely with you and with one another. While it is true that we have all sinned, it is a greater truth that we are forgiven through God's love in Jesus Christ and his cross. God in him offers us mercy and newness of life this day. So let us be at peace with God, with ourselves, with one another. Hear this our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. From Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, at verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Well, the disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Well, Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. Amen.
Thank you.
It was some 19 months ago that I moved from Scotland to Canada. There were lots of goodbyes and leave-takings to do, and not the least of which was with my own daughters. On one of our last occasions together, we climbed a hill, about 20 miles to the west of Aberdeen, a hill called Benachie, if you know that part of the world. It's really not very high, only 500 metres, and we were up and down it in about 2 hours or so. However, it's an extinct volcanic peak, and it dominates the local area with a distinctive shape, and there's a Bronze Age fort at the top of it. I have a print of it on my wall, for it serves as a reminder of a place of enduring memory, and I can draw the connection between that place and the memory of my daughters and my apartment here in Lennoxville. When Jesus went up the Mount of Transfiguration, he drew lines and made connections between mountaintops. Yes, the transfiguration of Jesus takes place on a high mountain, but both Moses and Elijah, who appeared beside Jesus, also have crucial mountaintop experiences too. And if we draw a line through these mountaintop experiences, they will line up to point the path Jesus calls us to follow in our frightened and stricken world. The connections between the Transfiguration and the story of Moses receiving the law on Mount Sinai go further than just the presence of Moses. Both stories also emphasize 6 days elapsing before the main event, and both feature the voice of God speaking from a cloud of glory that covers the mountain. So what's the point? Well, one real possibility is that when the voice from the cloud says, "This is Jesus, my beloved son, listen to him," it means listen to him in contrast, in completion to the things that Moses and Elijah might have said. To Moses, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain. And after last summer, we know all about devouring fires. God might be seen as a terrifying, out-of-control power who brings instant death to anyone who puts a foot wrong. But Elijah too has a fire on the mountain story and a voice on the mountain story. But this time a new picture of God is beginning to emerge. Immediately after his big public victory over the prophets of Baal, Elijah slumps into a discouraging depression and wants to die. Something is seriously wrong, and God orders him up another mountain and promises to make his true self known to Elijah in the sound of sheer silence beyond the earthquake. And when Elijah heard it, he covered his face and knew he was in the presence of God. The transfiguration, we are told, comes just 6 days. Remember, 6 days after Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the religious authorities and be killed and on the third day be raised. Back then it had been Peter who, full of Elijah-like zeal for a God who triumphs and slaughters his enemies, rebuked Jesus and tried to tell him that such a fate could never befall the Messiah. And so now on the mountaintop, Peter is hearing a voice from the cloud saying, "Listen to him. Don't tell him what you think being a Messiah should be like. Listen to him. Listen to this one who will not slaughter enemies nor send plagues on those who cannot live up to the law. Listen to this one who, far from sending fire, walks resolutely into the devouring fire of human hatred and hostility to reveal to us once and for all that God does not will the destruction of anyone, but willingly suffers the full force of human violence and divine judgment for the love of us all." And thus, after 6 days of telling them that God so loved the world that he must suffer and die for it, Jesus stands now on the mountain between two representatives of those understandings of God and completes them and fulfills them and points the way forward to yet another mountain, another hilltop that will this time be covered with a cloud of darkness, another hilltop where he will again be seen in all his glory between two dead men as he is hung up to die. Another hilltop where a voice will say, "Surely this is the Son of God," although this time the truth will be voiced by a confused Roman soldier. another hilltop, to which we ourselves are led by the one who in those 6 days also said, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me." A hilltop where, finally and definitively, the beloved Son, in whom God is well pleased, demonstrates that God's only involvement in violence of death is to suffer it for love of us all. And so that line, drawn from mountaintop to mountaintop to mountaintop, is a line that Jesus calls us to follow, that we might be set free from fear and know ourselves beloved, that we might cast ourselves into the outstretched, loving, tortured arms of the God who is entirely and unchangingly love and mercy and grace. Some 30-plus years after this incident, the Apostle Peter would write, "We did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." And so the start of this gospel, when he was identified as Emmanuel, God with us, and on to the end of the gospel where his final words are, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the world," we hear it again and again. The promise is clearly not about more and more mountaintop experiences, for on the mountaintop everything is clear and we do not need to be reminded. But it is as we come down from the mountain, and we go out from the intimacy of communion with our risen Lord, that we need to be reminded. Do not be afraid. I will be with you. Now let's go.
There is a green hill far away, without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. We may not know, we cannot tell, what pain he had to bear, but we believe it was for us, he died and suffered there. He died that we might be forgiven, he died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, dearie, dearie, has he loved, and we must love him too, and trust in his redeeming blood, and try his works to do.
Let us pray. We give you all thanks and praise, O God, for your transfiguring light has overcome us and is restoring within us the image of your glory. At the dawn of time, your glory overcame the chaos and gave birth to the earth and the heavens. And on the fiery mountain, you gave the law to Moses, and through men and women moved by your Holy Spirit, you gave us your word to lighten up the dark places. And in the timeless presence of Moses and Elijah, you transfigured your anointed one Jesus, allowing his terrified followers to witness his majesty and hear your voice from the awesome cloud. And powerful leaders plotted against him and killed him, but you raised him from the dead, declaring him again to be your beloved Son. Calling us now to listen to him, you send us forth to share your transfiguring love with all. And so we offer thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, be glory and splendour. Lord, we live in earthquake times, And at such times as this, we realize that the ground beneath our feet is not as solid as we had imagined. And so we plead for your mercy. As the things we have built crumble about us, we know too well how small we truly are on this ever-changing, ever-moving, fragile planet we call home. Yet you have promised never to forget us. Do not forget us now. Today, so many people are afraid. They wait in fear of the next tremor. They hear the cries of the injured amid the rubble. They roam the streets in shock at what they see. They fill the dusty air with wails of grief and the names of missing dead. Comfort them, Lord, in this disaster. Be their rock when the earth refuses to stand still, and shelter them under your wings when homes no longer exist. Embrace in your arms those who have died so suddenly in these past days. Console the hearts of those who mourn, and ease the pain of bodies on the brink of death, and pierce to our hearts with compassion, we who watch from afar as the poorest on this side of the earth find only misery upon misery. Move us to act swiftly this day, to give generously every day, to work for justice always, and to pray unceasingly for those without hope. And once the shaking has ceased, and the images of destruction have stopped filling the news, and our thoughts return to life's daily rumblings, let us not forget that we are all the work of your hands. For though the mountains leave their place and the hills be tossed to the ground, your love never leaves us, and your promise of peace will never be shaken. For our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. And now, as part of your family called together over the centuries, we pray the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining with me today. I trust that the word that I've brought would be a means of encouragement and affirmation to you, reminding you of the love of God, even though the world is being shaken. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
The one who formed the stars and galaxies lives inside the heart of me. Isn't that just like God? Isn't that just like God? The one who speaks to the waves and stormy seas quiets every storm in me. Isn't that just like God? Isn't that just like God? From heaven to a manger stall, a baby came to save us all, to conquer sin upon a cross. Isn't that just like God? Oh, isn't that just like God?
Yeah, yeah.
The eyes that see a sparrow fall sees my need before I call. Isn't that just like God? Isn't that just like God? When I question if he even cares, he answers my unspoken prayer. Isn't that just like God? Isn't that just like God? The hands that hold the world in place can feel my pain and then erase the sin that my own soul creates. Isn't that just like God? Oh, yes, it is just like God.
No one compares.
No, no, no. He's sitting up high, but he's living down low. He's everywhere, but then he's here in my heart, and he wants me to know that I'm a living miracle he has made. His love is such a mystery, but with the faith of a tiny mustard seed, He gives me power to believe. Isn't that just like God? Oh, yes it is. Isn't that just like God?
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.